study of the Gospel of John. We have reached chapter 10. And in particular, the Lord is in the temple, Solomon's porch area. And in the process, it happens to be the Hanukkah, the Feast of Lights, being celebrated, as we shared last time. Now, so when you come, if I can, to verse 23. And Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Now then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long doth thou make us to doubt? Though if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now, as we've been studying and following, and God has allowed us to follow all of that, to see it afresh. Therefore, the little phrase in verse 24, tell us, if thou be Christ, don't leave us in doubt. Don't leave us in suspense. Don't leave us up in the air. Tell us plainly, the word plainly, clearly. Say it English, easy to understand. Tell us plainly, clearly. Make it easy for us to understand. Now, with understanding all the background, which we aren't going to do now, but you understand why they're saying this, etc. Now, so in the light of that, over to chapter 8, John chapter 8, and they want it plain. They want to know, are you the Messiah, the Christ? Tell us plainly. So here in John chapter 8, remember, as we studied, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am. And he said it as it built up. He said it even more directly, clearly, over in chapter 8 and in verse 58. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, after the back and forth discourse, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. I am who I am. Exodus 3:14. I am that I am. I am who I am. I am always who I am. I can be no other than who I am. None whatsoever. Wow. I must be who I am. Tell us plainly. You have said it 1,000 times, it seems, from our end of it. Tell us plainly. Now, having said that, tell us plainly who you are. Now, these are Jewish people. They have a background in more or less, depending on which person you're talking to. They have a background of the Bible, the Old Testament, and all the sacrifices. They have them all. They're doing them. So now, having said that, plainly, tell us plainly. All right. What should they have known that is so plain, if you would? Over to Genesis 3 to follow a little track. Genesis chapter 3. And you will remember Adam and Eve had sinned, and God made a wonderful promise to them. And verse 15, you recall, I will put enmity, hostility, between thee and the woman. But that's the serpent. And between thy seed, the serpent, and her seed, the woman. The seed of the woman, shall bruise thy head, and thou, the seed of the serpent, thou shalt bruise his heel. So you're going to go and crucify a person. Which person? A person, the seed of the woman. That's what you're going to do. A person's going to come, and there's going to be a conflict, and there's going to be the conflict is going to involve the crucifixion, to say it quickly, the bruises heal, and the bruises Satan is going to do, and the Lord is going to deal a death blow to the in the judgment of the devil and his host. Now, so it's a woman. Right up front, Adam and Eve, you know it's a woman. The seed of the woman, we haven't had any yet. We don't know what it is to have children. But, the child is going to come, the seed of the woman, the only one there is Eve. And that person, like us, Adam and Eve, is going to go and be involved in a conflict, and it's going to result in our being saved. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. But there aren't any yet, but she's the mother of them. She believes, they believe, no problem. Verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. So here are animals slain, and the coats of skin, the skin of the animal, was to cover their nakedness. And in doing so, they realized, that someone is going to have to take care of our nakedness, our sin. It's going to be the seed of the woman. What is the way we're going to be reminded of that necessary understanding? We have to have a Savior. You're going to go and cover yourself every day with these coats of skin. They're going to remind you a substitute. A sacrifice took place to give you someone, something died to give you this covering. The seed of the woman, the man, person born, is going to have to die to give us a rightful rightness, a covering of rightness that we definitely must have. Now, so that's, we start out that, we all know that. We all know that. So all the animals, thousands and thousands of animals, all of them point to one wonderful person, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that little bit, and remember now, they're going to go over, if you can, at Genesis 49. In Jacob's foretelling the 12 tribes of Israel, their future, predicting. And when we come to Judah, picking up the tribe of Judah, going directly to verse 10. What about Judah? Judah, the scepter, the rod, the staff, that which indicated their authority, the rod, the staff that they carried. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Judah is the prominent authority. All the way down the line. Remember in studying Jeremiah, the 10 tribes are gone. You never hear about Benjamin. Benjamin's a little tribe, but it's all about Judah and Jerusalem. Judah is the chief one. Now, the scepter, the authority, the right to rule, shall not go until, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, Judah, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So you're waiting for Shiloh, peace, the peacemaker, peaceful. He shall come. Another the Hebrew, the one who is given, the one who is coming, the person who is coming, the seed of the woman is going to come. And when he comes, Judah is, it's going to be the source. And when he arrives in Judah, by way of Judah, the tribe, he will take over. He will do so. So that's what we know. So having said that little bit, keeping that in mind, and sacrifices are all being done to remind us. Slide over, if you would, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9. Tell us plainly, all right? You know how plain can it be? Isaiah chapter 9. Picking up, please. Chapter 9 and in verse 6. So the tribe is Judah, and thus, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And picking up the movement, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And so here it said very clearly, there has to be a child born, the seed of the woman, a child unto us, in our little preposition, in our direction. Which direction is it? Born unto us, for us, in our direction. A child is born for us, in our direction. A child is born. That's what's going to happen. Child is going to be born. Intensive. And the verb means to be born painstakingly, with great care, great carefulness, great effort. In other words, the birth of this child is intensely involved in how it happens, when it happens. It isn't just some easy little thing. God is involved totally. The birth of that child by way of the woman. A child is born, and in the light of that, a son is given. A son is given to us in our direction again. So we have a child being born for us in our direction. We have a son being given in the same direction. The child is born, a child is going to be born, but a son is going to be given. A son is going to be given. So here comes a little baby, full of, like we shared a little bit in Sunday school, full of humanity, perfect humanity, wonderful humanity, and God, you're going to give your deity in God the Son of God, and you're going to come and put the two of them together in two natures, each distinct, each human deity, never one becoming the other, wonderfully together in one person. Unique, awesome, so that God, you can all at once understand our humanity because the child is born and you become like us, absolutely like us. So if there's any way you can know and understand, you'll know by way of the child. How are we going to know God? By way of the child that is born. By way of the child that is born, do you understand? He is the God-man. When you have the child, you'll find God. Find Jesus of Nazareth, and you'll find God. Now, a child is born, and a son is given. Someone who is given. The incarnation, if you would. The embodiment of God. Pretty clear, when you come to verse 6, a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's going to, the authority, the scepter, the rule, and shall be put upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful, wonderful counselor. And in the process, being named Wonderful Counselor, called Wonderful, Extraordinary, the verb to separate, to distinguish, to make something great, to make something too wonderful, too great, wonderful, wonderful, awesome, super duper, wow. He is the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It would be used in Jeremiah 32 in that, 17. Is there anything too hard for you, God? Say it another way. Is there anything too wonderful? There's your word. Too hard. Is there anything too wonderful for you? Verse 27. There is nothing too hard or wonderful for me. Everything is wonderful. Awesome. Wow. So when we're reading on about trying to figure out from a human level, we have to figure out from God's level. Now, a child is born, a son is given, and the government, and the government, verse 6, the government bears upon his shoulder, and he is the wonderful counselor to make everything firm, to firmly to decide, one who can always determine wisely. He's a wonder of a counselor. Wonder, counselor, wonderful, awesome. God, are you able to understand what you do, when you do, how you do? Absolutely. So, you want counsel? I suggest you turn to the living and only God. He's an awesome counselor. And as we just think of Sunday school, if there's anyone that understands your life from top to bottom, from stem to stern, if anyone understands who you are and your every feeling, every emotion, every fear, every fault, everything of your life, he does. Is there anyone that has made provision for all that you are and all that you aren't? He has made it. He is the child born and the son given. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God. See? Who's he? He's a wonderful counselor. Jesus said to them, I am. They said, well, tell us plainly. How plain do you want it? I am who I am. Now, what is the problem? And there is a problem because of their unbelief, their blindness of their heart. They don't want to understand he is who he is. Born in Bethlehem of Judea. Wow. Now, hang on. So now, wonderful counselor, mighty God, little listing. He's the everlasting Father, the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Remember, Shiloh will come? Peace, the peacemaker. He is the Prince, the ruler of peace. There can be none till he comes, till Israel receives him ultimately. Now, in the light of that, so God, here you are, and I might as well read verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord will perform it. God, you're rolling up your sleeves. Are you going to do it? Absolutely. See? Are you who you are? I am. I am who I am. What do you want? What do you want me to say? What's your name? Might give you my name. Well, what is your name? I told you my name. Who am I? I'm me. He's he. Did that come out all right? He's who he is. What more do you want? Ah, we got a problem with you being who you are. Hang on. Now, so the zeal of the Lord shall do it. So now, God, how plain can you make it? Well, it can't get much plainer. No matter how you cut the cookie, would you go with me, please, over to Ruth, the book of Ruth? And in Ruth, Ruth chapter 4, picking up in thought, please. Now, just if you were a Jew, you read the Bible, you look at the Bible, you understand things, come on. Now, think of all the centuries have gone by, and the Jewish teachers have taught in the literature, and they've handed down from father to son, etc. Now, here's Ruth, and now God, Joshua judges Ruth, chapter 4, Ruth chapter 4, and picking up, if I can, in verse 17, remember Boaz, Naomi, etc. Ruth, Verse 17, chapter 4. And the women and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Sliding down, verse 22. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. So God, why'd you put it all this? There's a zillion things. You would have to have a library bigger than Congress if you put everything together, God. We got to simplify down so we can get it, so they could get it. So there's Obed, and Obed is going to beget Jesse, and Jesse is going to beget David. David's a son. Now, what about the wonderful, wonderful Davidic covenant? God, and it's all over the place, 2 Samuel 7. Go with me, though, to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, of all kinds of places to catch it. And in Psalm 89, verse 1, Maskil is the psalm. It's a teaching psalm. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Why? For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Wow. Verse 5. The heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness to all also in the congregation of the saints. Verse 24. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. So God, you're going to honor David. I am. I'm going to honor David, because out of David is going to become the Son of David. And when I honor the Son of David, I honor David. Chapter Psalm 89, picking up, please, in verse 28. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Sliding down, if I can, verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. God, you're going to keep it all and make it all work. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to do it. Do you understand? He is Shiloh. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the son, child given. Son given. Child is born. Do you understand? And it's going to be, so you don't have to get a guess, Obed, Jesse, David. What are we going to call them? We aren't even saved Jews. What are we going to call them? We understand. Nope. Did you people back in Jerusalem? Do you understand who he is? He is the son of David. Is anyone in question? No, he's the son of David. You all know that. We do. We know he's the son of David. Wow. Now, what are you going to do with that? Well, God, you've already built up to it. You told us he's going to come. Obed, Jesse, David. That's how it's going to happen. Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. In the great, great treatise on righteousness. Romans in chapter 1. Picking up, please. Verse 3. 1:3 of Romans. Concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared, ordained to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. God, he's the Son of David. You all know that. We all know that. Well, why is he the Son of David? Because that's the line he comes from. And what do we know about him? He has to go to the cross. The seed of the woman has to be crucified. And we know that. We know that. What else do we know? We know all kinds of stuff. Even if we know it half-heartedly, we know about you, God. We just don't want to believe. We need to believe. Over, if you would please, now, in the light of that, over to Micah. Micah and chapter 5. Micah and chapter 5. And God, you keep telling us, all you had to do is read. You keep telling who you are and what you're going to do. So here's Micah chapter 5. May I pick up, please, in verse 2. Micah 5, 2. Micah 5, 2. But thou, Bethlehem of Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler, remember, Shiloh, ruler, scepter, ruler of Israel, in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. So God, here you're saying what? Very clearly, very simply, the person that's born, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, he must be born, where? Bethlehem, uh-huh. And out of what? What do we know? Judah. It has to be Judah. Has to be Judah. There can't be anyone else. He must be a Jew. He's not an Eskimo. He's from the tribe of Judah, according to God's wonderful working. Wow. So God, tell us plainly. Well, how plain do you want it? I told you, Bethlehem. Bethlehem, 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem, not far away, just a little place, as it says, Bethlehem Ephratah. Though thou be little, small, very small, insignificant. We can go right through Bethlehem, and you wouldn't even know you were in it. Didn't even know you went through it, like you could in some parts of the country. You didn't even know you went through the town. You went through it. Not even a gas station. Nothing. Wow. Bethlehem, just a little place. Little place. Less than 1,000 inhabitants at the most, they think. 1,000 inhabitants. And yet out of thee, from thee, out of you, shall he come forth unto me. He's going to come unto me. Unto me, God, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. God, so you're going to say Bethlehem, uh-huh, the tribe of Judah, he's going to come forth in that place, and by the way, a son is given from old. God, how old are you? Ancient. There is no time for me. I have no age. No beginning and no ending. No, I don't. I want you to know I stepped out of heaven into that child. Where is that child born? In some prestigious place? No. They're born in Bethlehem. No place. A nobody place. Why Bethlehem? Because what did you know? Obed, Jesse, David. You know it. He's going to be born of David. Where's David? Home. Bethlehem? That's where he's born. That's where he is. He's one of those 8 sons. Wow. Of Jesse. There he is. So, God, there's no question. Why do it that way? Because, God, you're going to step out of heaven, and you're going to step out of heaven and be born in a body. That's right, a body that is prepared for me. And I'm going to go, and my deity that came from heaven, all the way from heaven, is going to come. And as the psalm, as Moses would say, Moses wrote, Psalm 90, verse 2, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Did you understand that, Moses? Absolutely. Absolutely, I did. Now, in the light of chapter 5 and in verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little, small, insignificant, not even worthy to bother with. No, not much. Just a little. Little town. And a nobody's there. Little town. And you're going to take of the tribe of David. David's going to, here's Jesse with all his sons. But you go and take the least son. The least son, David, that's right. I took David, the youngest, leastest. And I want you to know that how people thought about David. They didn't think a lot about David. In fact, Eliab and all of them, brother and all of that, what did you think about David? You're the brothers of David? He's a nobody. He's just a little kid. He happens to be our brother, but. And by the way, you're going to insult him, aren't you? I am. David, you, said Eliab, you keep a few sheep. Yeah. Not a lot of sheep. You just have a handful of sheep out there. Our father Jesse gave you a few sheep out there. But you know, with those few sheep, you went, and the sheep were so valuable to you. They were your father's sheep, and you were responsible for them. And therefore, you killed the lion, and you killed the bear. They could not have one of my sheep that belonged to the father. God said, I found a man. Huh. Now, so, David, here you are, and Bethlehem, that's why Bethlehem, and it's just you, little people, David, you're little, nobodies. The trouble is, God, you are somebody. You said it, I am that I am who I am. And that throws us. Now, God, you gave a wonderful program, a wonderful plan, but we can't follow it, really. We understand it if we want to sit down and pay attention. But God, it where does it leave us? It brings us to you. God, we like to think of you as a big God, but not too often, because we get tied up in idolatry with Baal and all kinds of gods that are no gods. So we really don't understand who you are. We really don't enjoy your immenseness, infiniteness, invisibleness. Wow, we just don't enjoy it. So God, what are you going to do to help us? You could do big things. Huge things. You could fill the sky with what you do. And you will one day, fill the sky. And God, everyone would have to pay attention. But you don't do that. No. You are a big God. You are too big for us to understand. How are you going to help us? Tell us plainly. Make it easy. All right. I'm going to help you. A seed of the woman, a baby has to be born. A baby in the town, city of Bethlehem. In the little town, little people, little city, and that has to be born there. Now, and so little. Everything is little. Mm-hmm. It is little. God, and you keep reading your Bible, and you keep reading it, and all the time God does, remember with Elijah, we shared it together, you don't have to turn there. Elijah and the widow and all of that. A little water. a little oil, a little cake to eat. To what? To understand God, how great you are, and you're able to take a little water and make an endless water. You're able to take a little cake that we could eat and bury us in a pile of cakes. Wow. How did I learn that? By little, 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 God, little, just a little. Nehemiah, how did you learn? How did you learn? What did you do? You had a terrible problem trying to overcome the surroundings, the enemy all around, trying to build the wall. And you know what? You took a few men, just a few, and you. And it seemed very little, didn't it, Nehemiah? Over to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah and chapter 9. And may pick up in thought. And in 09 and in verse 32. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible, awesome God, who keepeth covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee. Thou hast come, that has come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, on our priests, on our prophets, on our fathers, on all thy people, since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. God, you're absolutely right in what you do, and God, here is, don't have it seem too little. But God, what is too little for you, God? Well, nothing's too little for me. Nothing is too little at all, in any way, shape, or form. There is nothing too small. In fact, the only way I can show you how great I am is to show how small things are. And the trouble is, with you humans, you think yourself a pretty big. Do you know there was a day before the flood when you humans were just the same size? But I left you in a world with dinosaurs and tyrannosauruses and everything else, a huge, in the water and on the land. And you were the Lord, the boss, little old you, of all of them. I made them very big, and you're very small, to teach you how big I am. That's how big you are, God. That's right. I am hugely big. Do you understand? I'm infinite. I'm every place all at once and forever. God, how can that be? It is, because I am. I am who I am. So God, looking out, here we are looking out there, and you're going to go, and the Lord Jesus is going to go and take and make a little small, Philip will say, we don't have anything, 2 pennies worth of bread, John 6. And God, you're going to take a little boy's lunch, with small, little fishes. And what are you going to do? How are we going to learn how big you are? I'm going to do things that are small so that you can learn, so that you'll understand. And therefore, I'm going to take the little fishes and the biscuit, and I'm going to feed 15,000 plus people just like that. And when you're all done, you're going to bring your baskets in, all 12 of them, and they're all going to be full. Are you learning anything yet? I'm going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Born. I'm going to become like you. Why couldn't you just come down like Zeus or something and make us come down as a, be a man and like you did as in your pre, in your, as you could, you, yes, you could, but you didn't. No, that wouldn't save you. I have to become like you in order to save you. Therefore, I'm going to go and become just like you, born of a virgin, in a little town, Bethlehem. Not much. No, it isn't. Of a little tribe, a little boy called David. He's the key. I'm promised David, he's going to rule with me when I come again in the kingdom, millennium. I'm going to have him do that. But in the meanwhile, I want you to know I'm trying to get your attention. But you don't want my attention. So I'm going to go in Bethlehem, and I'm going to go in a little town full of people because the taxes being taken. And there's nowhere to go, and you're expecting, you're doing the right thing being in Bethlehem, and you're going to go to the only place there is. There's a stall where animals are kept, and you're going to go there, and that's the only place to go. And you're going to have a little baby, and the little baby is going to go in a manger, a feeding stall, where they feed the animals. And you're going to go in there. And you're going to wrap him in loincloth, as we shared, swaddling clothes. You're going to wrap him. That's all. And the only thing he's going to say, the eternal, infinite God is going to lower himself down and just be wordless, powerless, as a little helpless baby. God, you wouldn't, I would. And you're going to cry. You who thunder in the heavens are going to cry. You're going to limit yourself to being crying. You have no words. You have no knowledge. You're going to grow. It is my will. And all the while, Mary, you are having a little baby, and the baby is older than you that you're having. Wow. Wow. Now, God, it's an awesome thing. And you do it, we do it. We're frail little people, and we're all little babies. And that's how you're born. God, we have a problem. Why? How can God do that? Well, if God didn't do it, you and I couldn't be saved. God had to do it. Little acorns make mighty oaks. A grain of wheat makes thousands of grains to eat. Atoms, molecules, nanotechnology we have, miniature, think of the little things, I can't imagine them, little things like this that are probably not that big, and they have 7 zillion, I don't know the language, gigabytes, a bigabytes, a lot of bytes. Tons of information, and they're trying to speed it up and make it faster and fuller and greater. And we wonder, how big are you, God? Well, everything in life is a little universe in some form that we don't even understand. But we're understanding what? How small can something be? And be so powerful and have so much information in such a little thing, God. And who did it? Well, we think we did it because we use the laws of science and use the laws of that you have made and created, God. So we're going to look to you and we're going to understand our superiority, or are we going to understand our inferiority? That we aren't who we think we are. And God, we aren't going to pay attention to a little child born in Bethlehem, to you hanging on the cross. But boy, are we stuck when it comes to understanding your resurrection. The little baby born died. If we could just get our hands on the corpse, just get our hands somehow so that we can say we've captured it and we control it, but we don't. And the only sign, as we've said 7,000 times, the only sign I'm going to give you for all of the world is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As 3 days and three nights, he was in the heart of the earth and he rose again. The only sign I'm going to give to anybody today is an empty tomb and a heart that has received Jesus Christ as the Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath no life. And thus, the only sign I'm going to give you is a frail, human, little nobody that houses the greatest somebody of forever. The eternal God in the heart of the believing believer. And the world says, foolishness! Wrong as can be. Anyway, you got the idea? Wow. God, born a baby, helpless, powerless, wordless. And you announce your wonderful person and your presence. The mighty God, a helpless infant. The everlasting Father, a child. God and man in one person. Born this day in the city of David, is a Savior for you and me. Now, and if I don't, what are we reminding ourselves? The wonderful birth of a wonderful child who is a wonderful Savior who happens to be God. So it isn't true. It is true. God said, you don't realize how small you are in the light of how big I am. So I am going to make things very small. Butterflies, beetles, bugs, everything in its magnificence, so that you will look down at the smallness and think you're big. And then you're going to look down at me and see how big I am. I became a little child in a manger. Low, lowly, lower. You humbled yourself to become like us. You want to know how big I am, said God? Take a look in the manger. And take a look at an empty tomb. And you begin to understand my wonderful purpose for creating you in the first place. So that you, made in my image and likeness, can enjoy my marvelous person forever and ever. I am your creator. Boy, can I create. Wow. Can I save? Absolutely. To the uttermost. Our Father in God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and God, somehow take it and do something. God, you are, there's no words we have. There's no way we can explain or describe you. They wanted to know, to tell us plainly, make it very easy. God, it is too easy, and we feel and think many, too double O many, feel it's impossible, that none of it could be true, and none of it real, and any of it right, when on the contrary, it is all real and all right in your sight. You did it. The I am that you are. Be who you are to us, even this day, this morning, this afternoon, the hours that lie ahead. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convict, convince them. God, help us in our stupidity and stubbornness. And our God, we're going to thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that. We're going to sing a stanza if we can. 117. 117, if we can.